Once again, brothers, sisters out there all over the world, I greet you in the name of the Most High. I greet you amidst all that takes place around us right now, such a time as this, in all that we see, know, and experience right now. Now, with everything that's taken place, one thing I would encourage you to go back and check that last podcast that's gone up, because there's a lot of material in that that's going to tie into things that we need to keep discussing and keeping in front of us in this time right now that we're in. So right now, I was having a couple conversations with people recently about just the technical things about what's going on in the States. And I just want to encourage you guys with a few things, because we definitely have been in a time of incredible attack and deception, and there's so much going on. Now, we've always said that, we don't look to a person to solve or fix anything. The kingdom is within. That is the admonition. That is the encouragement. That is the thing that we've always known. The kingdom is within, and from within things are created. From within things come without. So that being the understanding and that being the framework, we also need to be mindful of that which is without, because that's the paradigm that we deal with while we're here. We deal with these external things. Now, when we understand within and we begin to move in a particular direction, and we see and we know, and that is being created through us, things will change based on our actions and based on our movement in the direction of our faith to align with that which we already know. So with a few things that are going on right now, and I guess it's the current affairs of the things happening with the U.S. election in the States, but this is a great opportunity for an object lesson as well as an understanding, because you can understand a bit more of who you are in the middle of this and how we relate. Now, you've seen for yourself how when surrounded by the media and all of these things, what they've tried to do to create reality through you, to synthesize reality through you, to get you to believe certain things, and then in the process of trying to get you to believe certain things, those things are then reinforced in a spiritual realm and created in the natural. So once you know that that's part of their game, you understand why they try to keep you at a base level frequency, at a low level frequency. Because if you are at a low level, and if your mind is engaged with the things they want you to engage it with, then they will create what they want, their desired reality here in this paradigm. So part of the whole purpose of this whole attempt to try to chip and change the genetics of human has been they just want to cut out the middleman. They want to cut out the media and just go direct, just plug it straight in and just write the code and say, okay, we want 1,000 people thinking about this today, to make that creation. You understand? So when you know what the game is, then you can also rise above it. Because right now we're in a time where everything is shifting in the dimension of spirit, and you can rise above these different things. Now, I encourage you to listen to the last podcast, because there's a lot of pieces in that that will be tied into the current stuff that we're going to go through. But you just know for yourself that you are the gatekeepers of creation. This reality is created in and through you, the fractile piece of the living God here, one with Him, an extension of Him in this reality. Listen, not everything walking around here is human. Not everything walking around here is part of His, of part of Him. There's all kinds of stuff that's here. They may be manipulated beings, they may be something else, they may look like you, but they're not you. To be truly human is to have the soul, the spark, the spirit of the living God within you. And that is not what you will see all over the place walking around on this planet that calls itself human. So there's always the goal of the world to try to get their hands and their meat hooks into human. Because it is human, it is you through which creation happens. It's you through which this reality is changed. And so when you see within, it'll manifest without. So when you see things changing in this world for the good, you'll see that manifestation. When you see certain things taking place, maybe geopolitically, environmentally, you will see the manifestation of those. And they try to keep you away from that so that you don't see that sort of creation. What they'll try to keep your mind on is war and destruction and plague and famine. And in the process of all of that, what do you see manifesting externally? Exactly. So right now, I told you guys about that time recently when I was just reconnected with my friend Barbara Marcotti in the States, and we sat down in the middle of over the internet, obviously, and because she's in Connecticut, and we just went into the spirit, and it was as we're in the spirit, it's like, okay, what do we see? What's being created? What is our Creator doing? What's being created through us? And as you see it within, it manifests, and it manifests without. Not their plan, but our Creator's desire and intention through us. And He is within us, and we're one with Him, so it is yours as well. I used that example before of how different things have happened in your own life, just so you can have some context on a simpler level, which is, you had an idea for a business and you build a business. Well, where did that come from? Well, first it was within. Something sparked inside of you. And then in that process, it drove you to do some research. It drove you to create some ideas. It drove you to look into some things, to look for some venture capital, to mobilize some of your funding, and then to launch a business. So where did that come from? We use the example of falling in love. Where did that come from? It started within. Something started within you that manifested to something external. So how now will these things manifest in the external? Well, so now, where are we? Today is Monday. Let's see here. In the States, it's Monday the 9th. And so this is Monday morning. Okay, so we talked a little bit about the U.S. elections. And I talked a little bit about that part of the vision. I didn't go into everything but I just gave the parts that are relevant for what we need here. Part of the vision was the that printing press, the wheels falling off of that printing press, everybody shouting at each other inside there, and the building falling down around everyone that was in there, falling down on top of the people that were in there. Okay, so let's go back to this thing about what's going on in the U.S. elections. Technically speaking, if, and this is now begin to circulate as information that people are starting to look into. So the Department of Homeland Security announced that they had a plan to try to protect the U.S. election from being hacked. Now, obviously, if you've got a plan like that, you're not going to make it public, because then hackers would work around it. Now, people thinking about hacking, you're just thinking about computers, but manipulating. How do you avoid the U.S. election from being manipulated? These links are in the last audio, and I think I put in the notes there just in the comment section in case people had trouble finding that. So those are there. 2018, there was an executive order signed by the president in the U.S. to help the protection of elections in the U.S. So you have to go back and see the stage being set for what is now coming into play. So 2018, an executive order signed. 2020, the DHS, prior to the presidential elections, announces countermeasures for protecting the integrity of the U.S. elections and avoiding the hacking. Now, if it is the case that the Department of Homeland Security, through the centralized production of paper for that would be then sent to the states for them to produce their own state ballots, if it's the case that there was multiple factors of authentication in those ballots, or one thing being discussed is a watermark, and another thing being discussed is the tying of those papers to a blockchain certification. If that is in fact the case, that's incredibly powerful as a countermeasure. Now here's why. The undercurrent of something like that, what does that do? Well, now blockchain cert, if you don't know much about the blockchain, I would encourage you just to do a little research for yourself. There's some good videos on YouTube, 6 minutes, 10 minutes. You don't need to watch a lot just to get a working knowledge. But basically what it is it's an immutable, an unchangeable public ledger. And because you've got thousands, hundreds of thousands of computers all with the exact same ledger, and once you have that, and it's reinforced on all of that, you can't change it. You can't get, you do not have the computing power to go into all of those computers and change that, as well as all the information after that original piece has been put on there. So it's a very powerful tool for giving trust in a trustless system. And the blockchain's been around, the methodology's been around for over a decade, but the application to elections, wouldn't be the first time that people have tried to use it in elections and used it, but this would be the first time on this kind of a scale and for this kind of a purpose. Now, let me give you some implications of how that might affect something here. It's a very powerful way and means to not just secure an election, but to reveal fraud where and when it would have arisen. So imagine this. Imagine if, and I'm not talking about this in terms of one political party against another. I'm talking about fraud in any people, whatever party they're part of, you get caught. And you can be caught in a system like this. Imagine this. You, and let's just use the context of this current election. So in this current election, if it was widely accepted among, say, the Democrats that that Trump would win Alabama. Okay? And somebody had access to DHS paper that was sent for the ballots there. And they smuggled out a couple reams and sent it to Michigan. And in Michigan, they printed ballots. Well, if there was a blockchain cert that was also inserted in that paper, if it goes to Michigan and they print Michigan ballots on Alabama paper, and they circulate it out and get mail-in votes from those and send it back, it's DHS paper, yeah. But it was allocated for Alabama. Now, here's part of what happens with that. Who signed off on that paper in Alabama that goes up to Michigan? Who received that paper in Michigan to run it through the presses there? Now, you see how this starts to reveal and to show in the discovery process, in the looking into process. So, and obviously, if you've got hundreds of thousands of votes being dropped off and needing to be recounted, when you recount them, you just look for the certifications. You look for the watermarks, you look for the blockchain certs. And if you have the right piece of machinery, say you've got 100,000 votes and they've all been mixed together, you have no idea what's in there. The wheat and the tares are both mixed together in the same batch. Okay? Well, alright, now how do you sort through that? Well, if you have the right machine, do you remember those old coin sorting machines? When you go to the bank, you take a big jar of coins and you would take it there and you'd give it to the teller and they just go dump it into that machine and it just roll them around, and as it rolled them through, your nickels, your dimes, your quarters, your pennies, it all gets sorted into different receptacles, and then afterwards they just give you a total and they'd give you cash or they put it into your account. It's very easy when you have the the right machine to be able to look for or pull out a certain set of information. So if you're processing it by machine, you can do that very quickly. So in the process of separating out what has a cert, what has a certification and what doesn't. So so here's the process. Do not just winning an election, but also exposing criminal fraud on all sides in the process. the first thing is establishing that something is awry. Now, this election process that's happened, okay, until you see a certified vote count by every state, then taken to the government, to Washington, D.C., to certify the vote count, until you see that officially done, you don't have a conclusion on the matter. So in every place where there's abnormalities or where this vote can be challenged, they will challenge it. So it's Monday, you will see the very first likely under it'd probably be a civil rights case filed. In fact, I think they've already mentioned that, a civil rights case filed in Pennsylvania and likely in other states where you've got poll watchers that were not able to do their job. So now the poll watchers that weren't able to do their job, they'll say, I've not been able to see I've not been able to see the ballots. So then there's an issue with that and an abnormality in the count. Now, if that's the case, and those things get taken forward, then in that discovery process, when these cases go to court, first establishing that people weren't allowed to do their job and authenticate the ballots, then the discovery process is also the revelation process of, well, what is an authenticated ballot? what is a ballot? So you'll have some people that would be brought in, and if the DHS was involved in producing these ballots, they'll be called in too. What security measures were there in the ballots? Well, Your Honor, you know, if it's an official ballot, it should have be printed on this type of paper. It'll include this watermark, this, and whatever else it is, this blockchain cert, whatever else it is that's been brought in and put into this. Now, at that point, when you're going back through and you're sorting through these, it does two things. It allows for you to clear up the civil suit side of it, the challenge on the votes, legitimate challenge on the votes, the recount challenge on the votes, because now not all votes are the same. If something has come in and it's not an authentic ballot, you can weed that out right away. And if something's come in as a fraudulent ballot, you can find that out. Much, much easier to check that now. But it also helps you to determine where the criminal charges get filed next. So, for example, say you've got 12 polling stations in a particular city. Okay, you've got 12 polling stations in a particular city. And 10 of those have every ballot that's there is authenticated, legitimate, matches the requirements, done. And you've got two of them that have 50,000 ballots each, 100,000 ballots, that don't meet the requirements. Okay, if you need to have a conversation with the heads of different polling stations, who are you talking to? You see how that cuts down your time in needing to do follow-up for criminal investigation. Because vote fraud is carries with it pretty stiff financial and criminal penalties for federal prison. And, you know, these are things that can affect people on any party side if they've been involved. So if you need to talk to people, well, who are you talking to? You're talking to the people that manage a polling station that doesn't have an authenticated ballot. If ballots have been destroyed, well, because if these have been numbered, if the paper was numbered by the DHS with a blockchain, and if you're missing massive swaths of ballots that should have been printed or were printed but were destroyed, you can know that as well, because you're missing those chunks of that information should have come back. It should have been filed. It should have been counted. So you know too where there's counting hasn't taken place. Things have disappeared. You have that frame of reference as well. So it's very powerful. The blockchain as a methodology in its application is incredibly powerful in establishing trust, in helping people to have an accurate understanding of what's going on. Will this catch everything? No, it's not going to catch everything. Will they want to catch everything? Maybe, maybe not. But listen, if they didn't do it like this, if they didn't do this level of an operation, what you would have seen is 4 more years of continued, you would have seen 4 more years of the same kind of just horrible media, public discord, all the railing accusations. With this process, if it's followed the way that it seems to me that it will be, it's going to be very powerful in revealing a lot. Very powerful in revealing a lot. Because what will happen is you've got an authentication system that clears up doubts. Trust in a trustless system. It's not your opinion anymore. Here's the actual case. Here's the actual case of the matter. I mean, people are willing to suspend logic and reason because of what they want, or what they've been told to want, or what they've been brainwashed to want. So, you know, an election, obviously, you don't have more votes than you have registered voters. In an election, you don't. If you have the primary candidate receive 74 million votes, and his party lose seats in Congress down ballot, that means practically speaking, if that were true, people would have either done one of two things: hated the rest of the ticket and voted for somebody else, or just voted for him and nobody else. So they just would have walked in, done one box just for him, and then left. So these are not just statistical abnormalities, but completely illogical. So people, when they suspend their ability to reason, they suspend common sense, rational thinking, this is kind of where they start to end up. Now, in this process, it's going to be a bit of a process. And in this process, if you care about this political piece, and I know some people don't, and some people for whatever reasons, that's fine, you know. But for myself, you know, especially because of the stance on counter human trafficking, which is a very important thing to myself and to many people that are on this path of truth and are in league with their Creator in being engaged in something that He wants to do here on this planet at this time. When you've got a leader like Trump who's made that his top priority, overtly speaking about that, drawing attention to it, legislating it for it, I feel very much like he needs that support and that backing. So, you know, that's sufficient, that's enough for me. And because human trafficking is the worst possible thing on this planet, and every effort to try to end that should be supported by anybody that can support it, however you can support it, period. So you can expect now, with legal proceedings beginning most likely today, this morning itself in the States. I'm talking to you, and it's nighttime where I'm at right now, but in the morning, the doors are open and the events will now continue to unfold. So expect to see civil rights and civic cases filed in multiple states, and the discovery process revealing what security measures were put in place by the DHS to secure this election from hacking. Once those are revealed in the process, those will come into play in deciding the results and the outcome of the entire election. So civic suits filed. Now, if you've got more than one state, and if a similar issue comes out in another state, which at this point it looks like you're talking about 7-8 states at least, then it can potentially become an entire national a national issue and a national suit. But it's the criminal cases that get very interesting with this. Because imagine if you're holding right now, imagine if you're a polling station and you're holding 80,000 illegal ballots. Because federal election law requires that you hold federal ballots, you hold election results, election papers, for 22 months. 22 months you have to store them. So if you're holding illegal, fraudulent ballots, you're holding, you've got marked bills, if you would, in your hands. You're carrying your jail sentence. You understand? And every day that goes by is one day closer to the follow-up on that. Because with the blockchain in play, you have to give an explanation of how did you get this? How did you end up with these ballots that have no marking? How did they come into your possession? Who received them? Who took them in? Who signed them off? Who okayed this? Who checked this? Now, in the process of going through the criminal side of this as well, there's going to be deals cut like you won't believe. Because there's no honor among thieves. Remember that. So, once it's known to be an open and shut case, you're going to have these conversations going. One of these conversations I've already heard, which was, you don't want your name to go down in history for this. Because there's going to be names that are going to be recorded in history for this. This is going to be something that people are going to be talking about for a very long time. But other conversations will include, well, you do know that this is a federal prison sentence, and this is the fine that's associated with it. And, so you pretty much, the evidence is right there. But if I walk out this door, if you give me something that is helps me to understand who paid you to do this work, who instructed you to do this work, what was your chain of command, we might be able to drop that sentence down a bit for you. I'll put in a word with the judge. You understand how that process goes as well, because in the process of people being rounded up, and I want to make this point clear too, on both sides of the political aisle. Both sides of the political aisle. Predominantly one political party, but my gosh, it's a lot of things are going to be known. So you need to focus also on the strength of the people that that need to follow up on this, that they would be able to maintain their integrity, their resolve, and do that which needs to be done swiftly. But the people that are holding the evidence right now, they're holding their own jail sentences. So first the civil side, and that is to wrap up the results of this election. Then the criminal side, and that can go into 2021 in a lot of people facing trial. Now the beauty of the thing with the blockchain is that it resolves a lot of discussions. There's very little discussion that's necessary if the application has been correct. If it's been applied correctly, you don't really have to have much of a conversation around it. You know who gave the okay and who didn't. You know where the ethics are, and you know where the people that are questionable are as well. So I just want to bring this to you guys on a practical level, because it's important to also know what you're seeing in the larger conversations. Sometimes what will happen is I'll kind of keep a little bit of an eye on the news cycle. I kind of gave you guys that admonition as well. Don't let them use the social media and the media itself to try to synthesize and co-create their version of reality they want to through you. So be mindful of how you use that in this time, and let your power, because you are the power, you are the technology, let your power be used for our Creator's intention right now. But when I do check in, occasionally I'll check in on some stuff with the right filter on my mind and on my spirit, ideally. So, as of right now, as of at least November 8th, not a single state has certified their result, and which, until you see the certification of the vote results, there is no results. There has not been a finalized process. In fact, just out of curiosity, I did a little search on YouTube and I saw where Al Gore had to receive the certified vote result from the state of Florida in the conclusion of the 2020 election, because he was vice president at the time, and he had to receive the certified result for that election in Congress. Very interesting. So listen, there's a lot of people that will be talking. There's a lot of people that will be saying all kinds of things. And I also want to encourage you guys to don't get too absorbed politically. We're engaged to a degree, we're engaged to a bit, and we do have a role to play. But the call is much higher and much more extensive and much more involved for all of you listening to this. And this is a part of the process of this as well, is to realize who you are and to engage appropriately in what we're going into at this time. Because this is a different time. The frequencies are elevating, things are changing, the visions remain, the reality remains, the shift in paradigms remain. So that's all what's going forward. I don't want to see people suffer. I don't want to see people hurt. I don't want to see... there's a lot of things that I would prefer don't happen, so we can engage in as much as possible in mitigating those kind of things when we see them. But, it is turbulent. It's a turbulent time. And we need to press through in the realm of the spirit accordingly. So, yeah, I can see there's people in the chat. Hey, Lee, bless you, brother. And, yep, Pat, absolutely, being in line with the source. So, we're in line with the Creator, we're in line with the source of all life, all truth, all reality. And, this is kind of fun. I'm enjoying this process of the live stream. But anyways, just wanted to kind of give you guys something for a little bit of what I think, what I feel, what I see happening that would be a technical execution on the next several weeks. So you'll see civil cases filed, recounts ordered, and in the process, an authentication of the ballots being required for a recount. So for a ballot to be official, it has to, and this will apply predominantly to mail-in ballots. There you go. So mail-in ballots will have to be authenticated, and if they've come in by mail, then you know what needs to be done and what needs to be seen for a ballot to be an official ballot. And then in the process of seeing that recount, we're going to have a much better perspective of what's actually happened and taken place. The follow-up after the deciding and the civil suits being resolved and the official recounts being done is going to be the criminal charges. See, this is how you win an election and drain the swamp at the same time. Because if this wasn't done, all of these people in the machinery would be hiding behind the scenes, waiting for their next chance 4 years from now to put back in place the same machine they've been running for centuries. So hold space for that. Encourage each other. Guard your mind, because you're going to have a lot of things trying to come and attack that mind and attack your thinking. If you've got to, go through this audio again after it gets posted, and share it with some people that might need to know context-wise. So timeline-wise, Yeah, probably recounts once they're officially set up and once they have the ability to do the authentication of the ballots, probably 3-4 days for each count in each place, to be able to issue an official count for those states. And so, yeah, I mean, I don't see there being a delay for Inauguration Day. That can take place on schedule. But all of this is going to be between here and there. So November into December can get very interesting. And just remember to keep each other encouraged in what's true and real. And bless you all. So, yeah. Drop us an email if you listen to this later on. faithmix@gmail.com. You can always say hi there. And love you guys out there. Blessings in our Creator, in the name of the Most High. Keep on keeping on in Jesus' name. All right, we'll talk to you again sometime soon. Bye.